In our next installment in this occasional series looking at the Chromebook in conjunction with the ChromeVox screen reader, today we're going to focus on Braille, of course, with an uppercase B. I've deliberately left a gap between showing you some of the accessibility features that I think are very impressive and coming back to Braille, because sadly, like Android, I think Braille is Google's weakest accessibility link, at least for blind people. There is Braille support in Chrome OS, and it is true to say that Braille support has become substantially better in recent years. But there is a chasm between the quality of Braille support available in Chrome OS and any other non-Google operating system, be that mobile or desktop. What's really cool about the Braille support is that if you plug in a USB Braille display and ChromeVox isn't running, when Chrome OS detects that a Braille display is connected, the screen reader starts. That is a lovely touch, and I'm not aware of another operating system that does that. There is, to the best of my knowledge, no way to configure things like reversing the panning buttons, which is the first thing that I do on any operating system when I connect my Braille display, is make sure that the left-hand thumb key pans to the right and the right-hand thumb key pans to the left. I wasn't able to find a way to do that. I have my Chromebook now on my homepage, which is the mushroomfm.com homepage, and I have the Focus 40 Blue from Freedom Scientific here. I'm going to plug a cable from the USB-C port of the Focus 40 Blue to a USB-A port in my Chromebook. I've just made that connection. Now, what's come up right now on my Braille display is no screen. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh man, I wonder what the matter is. If I tab around here,
skip to main content, link.
I'm still seeing no
press
screen.
Press search plus space to activate.
On the Braille display. So I'm going to press Ctrl-Alt-Z to turn ChromeVox off. And now I'll press Ctrl-Alt-Z to turn ChromeVox back on again.
Skip to main content.
And
link.
Yeah, the Braille display has come alive. And I am now able to read on the Braille display what is on. In fact, specifically, it says ALRT, which is the short code for alert in ChromeVox, Braille display connected. I note that Braille has an uppercase B on this message, which is fantastic. I'm going to tap a thumb key.
Mushroom FM, the home of the fun guys, with four decades of magic mushroom.
There are ways that you can emulate certain keys, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to press dots 1, 2, 3 chord.
Skip to main content. Link.
And that has taken me to the top of the page. And if I press dots 4, 5, 6 chord.
Copyright Mushroom FM 2021.
We're at the bottom of the page. So it's great that Chrome OS is following those conventions. I'll go back to the top of the page.
Skip to main content. Link.
I'm going to press dot 4 chord now.
Home. Visited. Internal link. Mushroom FM. Visited. Internal link.
Dot 4 chord is navigating me forward by object. Dot 1 chord will navigate me backwards by object. If I press dot 5 chord,
FM, home of B.
You can hear what that's doing. That is navigating by word, and dot 2 chord will navigate me backwards by word. Similarly, dots 6 chord and 3 chord will move me forward and backward by character, respectively. Unless you have sticky mode on, ChromeVox doesn't really have the concept of a virtual cursor mode, which is kind of nice when you're entering a lot of data into form fields. Because of that, you might normally expect in other operating systems just to press the letter H for a heading or B for a button when you're on the web page. You chord those commands in Chrome OS. So if I press H chord,
recent blog posts, heading 2.
I've jumped to the next heading. And that's recent blog posts on the mushroomfm.com website. If I press E chord.
No next editable text field.
There's no edit field on the page, and it says no next editable text field. So a lot of those commands that we've already covered, the navigation keys, do work on your Braille display. You just have to use a spacebar in conjunction with them, in the same way that you use the search key in conjunction with them on a QWERTY keyboard. So there is consistency there. And when you get to somewhere where you want to type, you simply start typing. And here's where it starts to fall down a little bit. I can press G chord on the display.
Switch to 8-dot Braille.
And G chord again.
Switch to 6-dot Braille.
What this toggle does depends on the tables that you have chosen in the options. We saw those before. So you go into the search key with O and then O again, and then you navigate to Braille, and you can choose from a very large number of 6-dot Braille tables. There are well over 100 6-dot Braille tables in a wide variety of languages, including various English derivatives. So you've got English UK, English US, and English UEB, all in contracted and uncontracted. I have my 6-dot Braille table set to English Unified Contracted. We have been using UEB in New Zealand for quite some time now. So I'm seeing that on the Braille display as I navigate, English Unified Contracted Braille. However, when I try to enter text into an edit field, I am not able to input in contracted Braille. I don't think this is something I'm missing, but I'm happy to be corrected if that is the case. But I haven't found a way to enter contracted Braille using the Braille keyboard. And in 2021, that is incredibly unfortunate and a shortcoming that needs to be addressed. If you want to action an item, for example, activate a link, then you can press a cursor routing key above, say, where the hyperlink is, and it will activate that link. When a Braille display is connected, and if you've set the accessibility setting accordingly, you can see the Braille commands in the ChromeVox menu. But one of the easy ways I found to just learn what the Braille commands do is to go ahead and put yourself into the ChromeVox learn mode and press the keys. So I'm back on my QWERTY keyboard, and I'll press search with O, and then the letter K.
ChromeVox learn mode. Press a QWERTY key. Refreshable Braille key or touch gesture to learn its function. Press Control with W or Escape to exit. ChromeVox learn mode. Heading 2.
Now,
press a QWERTY key.
I'll just silence that.
Stop control. Stop speech.
If I press a cursor routing key here.
Click the item under routing key 8.
Right, I happen to press the 8th cursor routing key, so that's incredibly descriptive. I'll press one of the little rocker bars to the left of the Braille display, nav rockers, I believe they're called.
Braille next line. Braille previous line.
So that's what that does. If I push one of the buttons above it, they are not assigned in ChromeVox. Similarly, if I press a thumb key.
Pan backward.
But if I go to the right and press one of the rocker bars, the first one on the display.
Standard underscore key. Standard underscore key.
So not clear what that does. If I press the other rocker bar, though.
Braille next line. Braille previous line.
And I can also press single letter keys. So let's say B chord.
Next button.
A lot of these are the same as the keyboard commands, which is brilliant for consistency. The one thing they have had to change, of course, is L chord, because .123 chord is a standard convention dating all the way back to the VersaBraille for taking you to the top of a file or a document. So they've adhered to that convention, and that's absolutely right that they've done that. It does mean, though, that there's another command for link. It's not L, it's not mnemonic. You press .45 chord.
Next link.
You can definitely consume content very well with this. I've sat and read material from newspaper websites and other things like that on the Braille display, and it seems to work quite well, notwithstanding that my preference is to remap the keys so that the thumb keys are reversed. So it's okay for consumption. If you would prefer to Braille in contracted Braille, I don't believe there is a way to do that. Very similar to JAWS, you do have a way of entering Control or Alt or Shift or combinations of those keys. You can commit those keystrokes to memory if you want to use them. And that should allow you to keep your hands on the Braille display most of the time if you are willing to commit those commands to memory. Over its evolution, Braille on iOS has become a bit more reliable and considerably more configurable, but there's no doubt that contracted Braille, while it is supported on iOS, is still really quirky. And this is one of the reasons why I purchased a Mantis from APH, the American Print Accounts for the Blind, in the United States. I have mentioned the Mantis several times on Mosen at Large, and we've recorded an episode where I reviewed the Mantis. It's a Braille device with a QWERTY keyboard. It has a range of note-taking and book-reading functions. When I started looking at Chromebooks at the beginning of this year, the Mantis wasn't supported, and that's when I got into using the Focus 40 Blue Braille display, which has a traditional Perkins-style Braille entry keyboard with the Chromebook. But Chrome OS is updated regularly throughout the year. You will know if you're a Google Chrome user on any device that Chrome is updated regularly. Chrome OS is updated on a similar cadence. And with it, you do sometimes get significant ChromeVox updates. And joy of joys, as part of one of those ChromeVox updates, we got support for human interface device braille displays. This is a new protocol, and it's designed to make it easy for screen reader manufacturers to implement Braille display support. As I understand it, at the moment there is one significant limitation to the HID, H-I-D, Braille display support, and that is that it does not work with Bluetooth. If you pair an APH Mantis display via Bluetooth, it will act as a QWERTY keyboard that way, and it in fact always has, but you won't get Braille. If you want to use your Mantis as a Braille display, then you're going to have to connect it via the USB cable. As I've mentioned throughout these reviews, I've got a lot of ports to choose from, USB-A and USB-C. And I've got a cable here that goes from a USB-A connector at one end to USB-C at the other. I'll take this cable and plug in the USB-A end to one of the USB-A ports on the left-hand side of the Chromebook, and I'm now going to set the Chromebook aside because I definitely won't be needing the Chromebook itself anymore. So I will place it on the floor on the left here in the studio, and now I have the APH Mantis. And I'm going first to power that on. I'm going to terminal mode. Of course, the Mantis is not a speech device, so you're not hearing anything. But I'm in terminal mode, and now I can choose connected devices on my Mantis. The first option I have is USB connection, and I'm going to press Enter on the Mantis to select that. And now the Mantis says Braille display, so we're in the right place. I'm going to take this cable that I plugged into the Chromebook and connect it to the USB-C port of the Mantis.
Braille display connected dot.
We get the prompt that the Braille display is connected, and I can read that in contracted Braille on my Mantis. The first thing that you need to know about using the Mantis with ChromeVox is that if you press the caps lock key, which is the search key typically on ChromeVox,
caps lock off, caps lock off,
you'll find that it's performing its standard caps lock function. And this had me flummoxed for a little while because I didn't check any documentation. So I did watch a YouTube video that APH put together on using a Chromebook with a Mantis, and I found that they've done something eminently sensible. Why use the caps lock key when you've got a spare key? The Mantis has a key on the left-hand side of the keyboard that acts as an option key when you are paired with iOS, or a Windows key when you are paired with a Windows machine. And so that has been used as the search key on a ChromeVox. So you're going to have to get used to holding down what you might think of as the Windows key or the option key to get your ChromeVox functions. For example, if I hold down the Windows key and press right arrow,
mushroom hash, announce email list, join us,
I'm moving through because what I'm doing now is pressing ChromeVox with right arrow. In the same way that we got familiar with what the keys do on the Focus 40 Blue, we can do this when we use the Mantis in keyboard learn mode. So I'm going to press the search key with O and then K.
ChromeVox learn mode. Press a QWERTY key, comma. Refreshable Braille key or touch gesture to learn its function dot. Press Control with W, comma. Space with Z, comma. Swipe left with two fingers, comma. Or Escape to exit dot. ChromeVox learn mode. Heading 2. Press a QWERTY key, comma.
All right, Control. Now I'm going Stop to speech. Press one of the thumb keys to find out what they do. So we'll start with the leftmost key.
Pan backward.
That is pan backwards. I'll press the next one, which is the bigger thumb key for those familiar with the Mantis.
Braille previous line.
We'll move past the little round button, which is, of course, the home button for the Mantis, and we'll press the bigger right-hand thumb key.
Braille next line.
So there's some logic, and that means that the next one is obviously going to be
pan forward.
Now, can we shift with any of these?
Shift. Pan backward.
No, we can't.
Braille previous line.
So those are the functions that we have. And again, to the best of my knowledge, you cannot remap these keys. I would dearly love to be able to reverse these keys. But I'll press the escape key now.
Join us. Link.
And we're back onto the Mushroom FM homepage. With the Mantis connected, I really feel like I've got something usable here because I have got contracted Braille And I've got QWERTY keyboard entry. So you can understand why the combination of a Chromebook and a Mantis in the classroom could be a very attractive solution indeed in education. I'm going to press Alt-Shift-L to get to the launcher.
Launcher. Button. Shelf. Toolbar. Comma window. Press search plus space to activate.
I will do that. So I press the Windows key with the spacebar.
Search your device, comma. Apps, comma. Settings and web dot. Use the arrow keys to navigate your apps dot. Edit text. Launcher, comma. Partial view, comma. Window. Group.
Now this is going to go on and be very verbose, so I've tapped the control key and I'm going to type the word docs.
Unselected. Displaying 6 results for docs. List box. Group. Docs, comma, installed app. List item. 1 of 6. List box. With 6 items. Group. Press search plus space to activate.
In fact, I'm just going to press enter to launch Google Docs.
Join web content. Web content. Main previous 30 days last opened by me. List box. Press search plus space to activate.
I'm now in a list of my Google Docs, and I don't use Google Docs very often, in fact, but I've got a couple of documents in here.
First Chromebook test Google Docs owned by me last opened by me the 23rd of October 2021. More actions dot pop-up button dot. List item. 1 of 2. Previous 30 days last opened by me. List box. With 2 items.
I'm going to press enter to open this document. It's just a scratchpad type document that I've created to have a play.
First Chromebook test dash document content. Text area. Application end.
Now I can read this on the brow display. I can read hello. And that is in computer brow because the word is highlighted and there is a little blinking cursor over the letter H. And then I can read, this is my first document typed
explore.
On my new. Now you see that's muscle memory kicking in there. You heard ChromeVox say the word explore. And the reason why it did is because I pressed the left hand thumb key because that's what I always have assigned to scrolling to the next line. And I can't do that on the Chromebook to the best of my knowledge. And it gets me every time. So press the right-hand thumb key.
Document content. Hello.
And I'm back in the document content, and I've got that first line. I will press the right-hand thumb key, and we've scrolled over. Typed on my new Google Chromebook. I am quite impressed that you can run an Android app on this device, which expands its capability considerably. So I'm just reading away here and scrolling on the display, and it's scrolling really fluently. As I write this, it says, it is early in the morning of Waitangi Day. Yep, that's the 6th of February when I started playing with this Chromebook. Happy times. I am now dictating using voice typing, which we will come back to, and I am seeing how accurate it is. So I'm just writing nonsense in here, really, as I've been playing with this. I'm going to press Control-A to select it all.
Hello, Doc.
And delete.
Deleted.
Now I've got a blank document, and I can start typing. So I write, good morning.
Cap G. Application end.
Good morning, I've written. What's interesting is that there doesn't appear to be any command in ChromeVox to read the current line. You could up arrow, I guess, and down arrow again. But there don't seem to be current commands like read current line, read current word, and things that you would expect on any screen reader. But I've written, good morning. I am typing this message on my APH Mantis while I record a section of my Chromebook review
application end.
That focuses on Braille with an uppercase B. I'm going to press Control Home.
Good morning. I am typing this message on my APH Mantis while I record a section of my.
So it is reading that back, and I can scroll through on the brow display. So that does appear to be working quite well, and as I scroll through, it's keeping up. What I don't yet know, though, because I haven't got a document that's long enough to verify this, is what happens when a document spans multiple pages. But the brow support is good enough, particularly with QWERTY input, I think, that you could get some work done. I'm just not embedded in the Google ecosystem enough to give this a thorough test. For example, I don't collaborate with people on Google Docs. That's something that I do in Microsoft Office. I'm going to go to the bottom of the file.
Chromebook review that focuses.
And if I press Control-Shift-S now.
Voice typing turned on.
Voice typing is now turned on, and I am dictating into my document. As I speak, I am able to read what I am saying on my Braille display. I'm not sure why it is saying deleted in the way that it is, but this is being typed into my document.
Voice typing turned off.
I've now turned voice typing off, so you can do that by pressing Control-Shift-S in some of the official Google Office applications. As I was dictating that, I was able to read what was coming up in the Braille display, and the way I've got this set up in my studio at the moment, I have the Chromebook actually some distance from me, because I don't need to touch it anymore since I've got the QWERTY keyboard on the Mantis. And the dictation, even at that distance, was quite reasonable. The Google dictation offering has always been impressive. What I have found when using dictation, though, is that sometimes focus with Braille can get very messed up once you've exited dictation. If that happens, what seems to sort it out is pressing a cursor routing key, just so that the Braille display is sure about where focus should be. In Google Docs and similar applications, you've got a menu bar. And although this is all web-based, it really does feel like an application. So if I press Alt-Shift-F for Foxtrot.
File. Menu item. With submenu. 1 of 9. Expanded.
We've got what looks like a standard menu bar. So I've got File, and if I right arrow.
Edit. Menu. View. Menu item. Insert. Menu item. Format. Menu item. Tools. Menu item.
There are quite a few things here, but I'm going to down arrow through the Tools menu because there are a couple of things that you should check if you're starting to use Google Docs for the first time.
Spelling and Grammar S right pointer. Menu item. With submenu. Of. Word count W control plus shift plus C. Menu item. Of.
If you're going to use Google Docs regularly, then you will want to commit a lot of these keyboard commands to memory. And just like Microsoft Office, there are a lot of commands in Google Docs and the other Google applications.
Review suggested edits U control plus Alt plus O control plus Alt plus U. New compare documents M. Menu. Citations K. Menu. Explore R control plus Alt plus Shift plus I. Linked objects L. Dictionary D control plus Shift plus Y. Translate document T. Voice typing B control plus shift plus S. Script editor E. Preferences P. Accessibility settings C. Menu item. Of. Accessibility settings C. Menu item. Of.
It is being quite repetitive. This seems to be something new in the latest version of ChromeVox that we have. But anyway, this is the accessibility settings option. And it is something that you'll want to check and make sure that it's configured to your tastes. I'll press Enter to activate that.
Accessibility settings. Dialogue. Accessibility settings. Dialogue.
And no more feedback, so I'll press Tab.
Turn on screen reader support. Tick box. Ticked. Required for Braille support and collaborator announcements. Learn more about screen reader support. List item. List. With 2 items. Press search plus space to toggle.
So if I press Tab.
Learn more about screen reader support. Link. Press search plus space to activate.
I'm going to press enter on that link and just see what we hear.
Untitled comma tab. 3. Accessibility for docs editors dash.
I'm going to press the ChromeVox key with H and see if we can get to a heading on this page.
Accessibility for docs editors. Heading 1.
That sounds article. Like where we need to be, so I will now perform a continuous read by pressing the ChromeVox key with R.
Accessibility for docs editors. Heading 1. Region. Main. The Google Docs editors are designed to work with screen readers, comma, Braille devices, comma, screen magnification and more dot.
All right, can you hear what's happened here? Somehow along the way, we've got a bit too much punctuation being spoken. We can fix that, of course. We'll press the ChromeVox key with A and then P.
No punctuation.
I think that's a bit too little, so we'll do it again.
Some punctuation.
And we're on some punctuation now, so let's continue reading.
Computer. Tab list. Android. Tab. 2 of 3. iPhone and iPad, tab. 3 of 3. Tab list end. Use a screen reader. Heading 2. If you already use screen reader software in your computer, such as ChromeVox, NVDA, JAWS or VoiceOver, follow these steps to get started with the Docs editors. Step 1. Turn on Docs screen reader support. Heading 3. The first time that you use the Docs editors with a screen reader, you need to turn on Docs screen reader support. 1. List item. List. With 3 items. Go to Google Docs. Link. And open a document. 2. List item. In the Tools menu, select.
I will pause that because this is telling us to do exactly what I have just verified, but there's excellent documentation for Google Docs here and the whole Office suite from Google for all platforms. I'm going to press Control with W.
List item. Accessibility settings. Dialogue.
Now we're back in accessibility settings, and I'm going to continue to tab through.
Turn on Braille support. Tick box. Ticked. Works with third-party Braille hardware. List item. List. With 2 items. Press search plus space to toggle.
Braille support is on, and even if you don't use Braille but you are going to use Google Docs with JAWS, although this is obviously a Chromevox tutorial, it's important to have Braille support on. JAWS works a lot better in Google Docs when Braille support is on. I'll press tab.
Turn on collaborator announcements. Tick box. Ticked. Know when people access and exit your files. List item. Press search plus space to toggle.
When I worked for Ira, Ira was a Google Docs shop, and so I did get used to working with Google Docs, and this is great. You can tell when somebody else is working on your file and editing where you are editing.
Turn on screen magnifier support. Tick box. Not ticked. Works with third-party screen magnifier software. Learn more about screen magnifier support.
I'll press tab.
Learn more about screen magnifier support. Learn more. Link. Cancel. Button. Okay. Button.
Okay. So we can press okay, but just in case I've changed anything inadvertently, I will press escape.
Document content.
And now we're back in our document. So it's not my intention to go through an extensive Google Docs tutorial, although that may be a very interesting subject at some point to explore in great depth. But what you're seeing is that we've got reasonable access here. I'm not saying it isn't quirky. At times it is. And as I say, there will be times when you'll need to do things to force the focus. But it does appear to work reasonably well. And in fact, Google Docs generally works quite well with most screen readers. The important thing is to make sure that screen reader and Braille support are both enabled. You can do that by pressing Alt-Shift-F to get to the menu bar and moving through to Tools and then going into Accessibility Options. And as you do that, feel free to explore the extensive menu system because you'll get a real appreciation for just how powerful Google Docs actually is. So my thoughts on the Braille are that it's not too bad for consuming content. If you have a Perkins-style Braille display, what would be really nice is contracted input. That doesn't seem to be possible on the Focus 40 Blue. And it would also be very handy for all Braille displays to have a keyboard manager where you can map the keys at least for navigation. If there was a checkbox in accessibility settings that let you reverse those thumb keys, that would make a significant difference. Now, the next time we look at the Chromebook, we will explore finding and installing Android apps on your Chromebook, a very powerful feature with some limitations. That's coming up in a future episode.